Welcome to Postcast. David Locke along with Ron Boone, the Utah Jazz in a stunner. 106-77 over the Denver Nuggets. And Ron, I really want actually to kind of see if we can kind of calm down for a second and break it down. The Jazz are 5-4 now without Rudy. The offense came in as the third best offense in the NBA over the last 8 games. I don't know what the final number was tonight. I didn't look up their offensive rating. What is going on? What are you seeing right now out of this team that's allowing them to really, this was a stunning performance.
Well, exactly what we've talked about during the broadcast, and that is the type of offense. Let's forget about the defense right now, because the offense, is, I think, right now is what's carrying this basketball team. Used to be the defense, now it's the offense. And it's basically the looks and the uncontested shots that they're getting. The Jazz, the last 2 ball games from the three-point line, if I remember, 18 and 14 is 32. They made 32 three-point field goals in the last 2 ball games against, you know, their opponents. And those are looks, those are good looks. That's a shots, not those are shots not off the dribble. Those are not catch and shoot threes. Those are just great ball movement, uncontested shots that they're knocking down.
Derek Favors 2 years ago was at times our best player. Right? We forgot about that. 2 years ago, well, there was times where you have a debate of who the best player on the team was, and Gordon clearly became the best player, and Rudy became. Is Derek playing for the contract? Is Derek playing with to prove a point? Is Derek actually just playing the position he should be playing, and so therefore he's better? What is going on with Derek Favors?
It's without a doubt he's playing the position that he's been more comfortable at playing, and that's the center position. That's what he's played throughout his career. The game is changing around him. He's trying to make that transition to the stretch forward, to the power forward.
Friday night, the Jazz gave a class.
Not saying that he won't get there, but right now the center position is a natural position for him. It keeps him closer to the basket. He's not chasing a lot. I mean, especially when he has guys that are right there in front of him, meaning the center that doesn't really stretch the floor as much as you know, some of the others. But I think right now he seems to be a little bit healthier. Maybe that's helping there as well.
He's averaging, I think, over the last 4 or 5 games, 19.9 rebounds a game. I mean, he's a force in the middle right now. And then Sevelosha and Jerebko, when you say Jerebko and Tabo Sevelosha, your power forwards, it seems very strange. Right? Like, you don't really believe that could be right. But tonight, 2 of them played about 41 minutes. They shot, didn't have a great night, they went 7 of 15. They combined for 17 points and 11 rebounds. Now, let me phrase it to you this way. I did this on the podcast, my Locked On Jazz podcast the other day. And it will suddenly make a lot more sense. They have Ryan Anderson, but they play defense.
You found a player in the league that they'd be complimented. That's awesome.
Right, but I mean, are Jonas Jerebko and Tabo Sevelosha really, they're not quite as good as shooters, Ryan Anderson, right? He's a great shooter. But are they really that different a player than Ryan Anderson?
Ryan Anderson, I'd agree with you.
Right,
on that.
So Ryan Anderson's a better shooter, but he doesn't play off the deck. He's 6'10". Yeah. He just stands on the outside.
Sevelosha rebound probably as well.
Right, yeah. Right. And so suddenly you just almost have to change. Like, I'm so used to thinking of a power forward as a guy who's got a statue out front.
Yeah.
And so you almost have to just change your mindset and suddenly realize, well, maybe we're discovering all sorts of aspects of a lineup that actually makes sense.
Well, and now you run into the question of that: does it take 2 players to make 1? I mean, you're putting 2 players against 1 there, and the results is definitely the same.
Well, their salaries don't even combine to Ryan Anderson.
but the bottom line is that they're getting the job done, those 2 players. And again, you know, when you have players hurt, you start making adjustments, you start experimenting, and all of a sudden you find something that works, and Quinn Snyder's running with it.
Let's talk about Quinn Snyder.
Let's talk about Quinn.
So you and I have this incredible front row seat to what's going on with this team.
Yes.
You've been in this league for almost 50 years.
Correct.
What do you see out of him? Like, what jumps out to you about what he's doing to get this team to this stretch?
When you want to start, I mean, you want to start when he first got here, because when he first got here, the first thing I was impressed with was his teaching. I mean, this is the NBA. You know, why do you have to teach – players coming into the NBA how to play this game. Then you start realizing these are very young basketball players that don't know how to play when they get here. Talented, a tremendous amount of talent, and the only way you're going to find out how good they are is to teach them at this level. That was what my first impression of him. And since then, I've just grown to love the guy on how he conducts his practices and how he does things. I asked you a question the other day. Well, we didn't ask you a question. My opinion was that what I thought he was doing, he changes his offense per team that he's yeah. using.
They go through an entire sequence of plays every shoot-around that is specific that he believes will work for the opponent on that night. I've never heard of anything like it.
Never heard anything like that. That just shows you, or tells us anyway, how hard he's working. Now, that means he's going home and working. You know what I mean? Because he's coming back with plays that he thinks is going to work against the personnel of his opponents.
And tonight's were different than they were against Milwaukee.
Exactly. It's fun to watch. It's very fun to watch.
Tell the story. I don't think we'll get in trouble for this. Tell the story about Neto today. Do you remember this shoot around today? What happened when Neto ran that one play? And you turn to me. Neto's running the play. He stops it and makes him rerun it 3 feet to his left.
Oh, yeah. That was fascinating. Because they're running their offense, and they divide teams up, right? And they run certain things on one end of the floor and certain things on the other end of the floor. The floor that was close to us, as Quinn was walking back toward the south end of the court, and Neto was starting to get into the play, and he stopped him. And the difference between from the 3 feet was exactly probably 3 feet from where he was running the play and where Quinn wanted him to start the play was about 3 feet.
And it changed completely whether the defender would get run into the pick and everything else, and that's the level of detail.
It's unbelievable. The angles and everything completely changed, and that, those are the type of details that I'm talking about.
All right, let me see if I can get some of your questions in here quickly. Jonathan Colton wants to know whether or not Royce, and a few people want to know about Royce O'Neal. Is he a rotation player? Is he the next Joe Ingles find from the Jazz organization? He was quite good tonight. What have you seen out of Royce O'Neal?
Well, he's not a Joe Ingles find. We kind of knew that this kid could shoot the basketball, and he wasn't shy about shooting it. When Joe got here, he was afraid. He was totally afraid. I mean, he was more concerned about not turning the ball over, not making any mistakes, passing the basketball, and all those kind of things. This kid has he can shoot the basketball, and we kind of been waiting for him to get a chance to break out and maybe try to work himself into a rotation. Maybe when guys get back, maybe he goes back to maybe getting a couple of minutes or something like that. But right now we see that he can't shoot the three-point shot. That's the reason he's on this team, because he can't shoot.
A few quotes coming out of the Denver locker room. Mike Malone, we got our ass kicked tonight. An awful, embarrassing night for the Denver Nuggets. We'd had 2 great days of practice. I'm stunned that this happened, he said. So really interesting where they were coming from that standpoint. Can Favors and Gobert play together when they get back? That's the next big question. I don't think Rudy's that far away either, by the way. I know the next evaluation date supposedly 2 weeks away. We'll see whether it's that long. What's your answer on that one, Ron?
You know, that's something that, you know, I really don't know. I really think that the way the game is played now, the way the Jazz are really executing their offense, maybe Rudy's minutes go down as well. You know,
I mean, the next struggle is going to be for Quinn to keep everybody happy, because when Joe Johnson comes back, what do you do about Cephalosha and Jarebko, who have been way better than Joe Johnson was this year? Joe Johnson's great. I'm a huge Joe Johnson fan. Joe Johnson's played 42,000 minutes in this league and is 30-whatever years old. Joe Johnson might not bring what Cephalosha and Jarebko bring right now to this team.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And he doesn't swing the ball like that.
And just think about, we've said this many, many times, when you have problems like this, this is a luxury. You know, when you have guys that's good, your starters, they're used to getting a certain amount of minutes. You have your guys coming off the bench and playing very, very well. But it is a problem. It's a huge problem right now.
So that's the next struggle. They've gotten through this stretch while being injured. But now you have, how does this all play out? Royce O'Neal's going to go from having this night to not playing when Rodney Hood comes back. When Joe Johnson's awfully close, Rudy Gobert's not that far away. Yeah, now you've suddenly got all sorts. Who do you close with? And how do you keep the locker room happy? This is still a long way to go. It's why this season is so incredible. But this is a big one. And the next three games are huge because December is one of the single most difficult. Actually, it is the hardest schedule for any team in the NBA all year. There are a lot of losses on the schedule in December, which will be even more interesting because that's when you're going to be dealing with this whole locker room composition issue. So there's interesting days still ahead, but this was an awfully good one.
You know, that article that you wanted me to read that Zach Lowe wrote, a very interesting article about, you know, tanking and all this kind of thing, and he feels that the Jazz should even entertain the thought.
Well, the next 3 days are, the next three games are big, and I don't think that's where we are as a franchise, but just incredible stuff. Thanks very much for tuning in. The Jazz have found a way to move the basketball. Quinn Snyder's post-game show tonight, he said, if the Jazz defend, I don't care what happens offensively. So that's where he is setting the standard, and that'll probably determine most of those moments. The Jazz did defend quite well tonight. The coach is brilliant. The GM deserves credit for putting these guys in. None of it works until the players do it. It all still comes back to that. And these guys have bought in. That's how Quinn opened up his media session today, saying, hey, these guys have bought in. Really, really impressive all the way around. So this is Postcast. I'll be back with you Locked on Jazz tomorrow. We'll do a Facebook Live from L.A. on Thursday morning. Back with you. Hope everyone's well. Fun night. It's awfully late. Have a good one.